You are listening to episode number 111 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
It's three ones! It's a sign!
What does it mean?
I don't know!
So beautiful.
Gentlemen, and welcome to the 111 edition, Bender's favorite episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. That's binary for you. As always, I am your host, Iggy, aka Ben. Joining me from the man whose team just got stomped by the New York Yankees,
Mr. Brian.
Brian, welcome to the show.
I am not in a good place right now.
Red Sox suck. And of course...
I can't deny it either.
You fired your best manager. Fucking Bobby. I'm just saying.
The end of Francona's era.
You hear me, Wes? Because I know you listen. The Red Sox suck. And of course, joining me from New York City, first Taser, welcome to the show.
Didn't Boston just win two games against the Yankees?
Shut up.
I'm gonna give credit where credit is due. Wes, notwithstanding, thumbs up to, Brian and his, Red Sox, you know,
I
took it, they earned it. That's all I can say.
I remember, like, them losing, like, 10-3 on Saturday, so that's what I'm going off of. So, and of course, also, the man who wants to be with Cyclops, Arnold. Arnold.
That's for sure.
All right, and in case this is your first time listening, this is the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel Podcast. This is a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel, that's comics, movie, video game, TV shows, cartoons, maybe sometimes porn, whenever I feel like it, I don't know.
Let it happen!
I don't know.
I still have that review, but put it down.
Maybe just next time. So, let's get right into it. Not a lot of news this week, considering it's post-San Diego Comic-Con, but we did get a little tidbit that apparently Marvel is working with, is it ABC, Brian?
Yes, ABC.
To create an Avengers-centric TV show. Now, Brian, why don't you, since you're our news correspondent, why don't you spill the details on this little escapade?
You know, I don't have the article in front of me. You're making me go searching for this crap again.
All right.
You suck.
God, really? Like, this is your job. You're making this look bad.
You didn't tell me you were going to pass it off to me. I mean,
I always pass it off to you. Anyway.
Fail.
So, this is going, I'm going
to. Leave me alone.
I'm going to go ahead and do this. this is a, Avengers. They're eyeing for it. It's nothing confirmed. Obviously the Avengers was the biggest, one of the biggest movies of all times this past May, and that, Marvel Television is in conversation with ABC and ABC Studios doing a drama series in the Avengers world. Its connection to the Avengers franchise would be light, as the project is expected to be set in the universe and feature some themes and feels, but may not include any characters from Joss Whedon's blockbuster. So basically, you'll hear about Captain America, you'll never see Captain America. The project is nascent stage, describing it as a kernel of an idea with a number of scenarios explored, including a high concept cop show. So, you know, to me, it's basically trying to set a. I don't know why you can't just do the S.H.I.E.L.D. show, or the I think this is the, you know, or the same thing as Alias Jessica Jones that they wanted to do.
This might be their way to get that off the ground.
Yeah, but I mean, like, to obviously
maybe their second attempt, rather.
Yeah, you're right, but I mean, I hope they don't call it the Avengers, because then that's false advertising. Because
no, I don't think they would call them that either.
You know, I don't know what,
like, Marvels.
That would be a nice name. Yeah, I mean,
think of it like that. Because that, you never really, you only caught, like, little glimpses of the heroes or mentions of them. They weren't the main focus, you know.
And through this, you could see the growth of the Marvel Universe, like the, exactly. Like some C and D list characters. Because they're going to rely on the strength of the branding name to promote this. You know, I think it's an interesting idea. Obviously, the title is not Avengers, but, you know, it'd be cool to actually see you know, references, like, say, of a cop reading about Captain America doing something in Africa, you know, or something like that. You know, that would be interesting, but I don't know. Like, to me, it just sucks that did Alias Jessica Jones fail or something?
It didn't get picked up.
Yeah, I mean that sucks because like that whole book was about being centered in the Marvel Universe, and that was a perfect way of doing it, but not being part of the Marvel Universe. So you know,
there's a reason why that failed.
Well, even in the comic, like the whole point was it's in the Marvel Universe, but it's not exactly part of the Marvel Universe. You know, so like I believe you can do a show like that, and you know, with the power of Marvel branding, you can get people to watch it. But you know, maybe you know what? Fuck it. I'm hoping for Iron Fist and Luke Cage. There you go.
Sure.
Make it about them.
Heroes for Hire, baby.
Make it about them. But call it Marvel, so that way you get people to actually watch it. Taser, you're huffing and puffing.
Okay, I gotta admit, first of all, I'm tired of S.H.I.E.L.D. being involved in everything Marvel lately. It seems like whenever something has to get done big project-wise, S.H.I.E.L.D. is somehow a part of it.
They're a global keep
okay, but, okay, take for instance Ultimate Spider-Man, Tomb.
You complain about certain things in movies where they should be there, and when it makes sense for S.H.I.E.L.D. to be there,
when it makes sense for S.H.I.E.L.D. to be there, fine. But, okay, I'll say this. I'm not too enthusiastic about a show that's in the Marvel Universe but doesn't show a whole lot of the people that I actually give a rat's ass about of the Marvel Universe. You know, I don't want to see a show about the super cops who have high-tech gear and take down not special villains because that would be too much on the special effects budget. Because that's what it's going to run into.
Stiltman.
No, it's going to be the Farscape problem. It's going to be, this show is expensive. How do we cut this down? I don't know. Let's start cutting the salaries or start cutting characters. That sucks. The premise doesn't impress me.
Well,
and
this is a rough idea, so nothing's confirmed.
Okay, well, I'm not too enthusiastic with the idea. And again, I don't want to see a cop show. You know, I don't want to see a super spy action show. If I want to see something in the Marvel Universe, I want to see, hey, that guy just picked up half a building. I want to see that. I don't want to see, well, I'm going to take my wrist-mounted illusion device and phase walk through this so I could get to the almost would-be world conqueror who's planning things from his garage. You know, No. Admittedly, if it became super mega awesome Hydra or something like that, where buildings blew up, okay, maybe. But I know this is a Disney property, it's not gonna happen. You know, so I don't have any real enthusiasm for it because I don't expect to be rewarded with the type of visual effort that I'll be that I want. It's just not going to happen.
What about you, Arnold?
It could be cool. It depends on what characters you bring in. I would very much like it if they're going to go the cop route or some kind of, you know, detective work, whatever the case may be. They might as well give me damn Heroes for Hire. Unless there are plans to make that into a movie, which would also be good. But if you can get more of the quote-unquote ground-level heroes into it, I guess it could be fun. So your Luke Cage and your Iron Fists and things like that. But again, it's all concept and talk and what-ifs and maybes and let's give this a shot. So we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if they at least get to the story writing and maybe even pilot stage, because as we said before,
Just because you make a show doesn't mean it's going to get on the network anyway.
There's a bit more money involved in taking a risk with the show than there is with taking a risk with a comic book. But they do take risks. So we'll see. I don't want to do too much speculation because at this point it's kind of just speculation for them too that they're thinking about doing it. So we'll wait and see. But it could be fun. See where it goes. But I do agree with Taser. I don't want it to just be we're cops in New York that happens to have superheroes in it and, you know, where we're getting help from this and we have Stark Tech guns. Because I know it just reminded me of the 90s Spider-Man cartoon where for some reason had laser guns in my shield or not shield, you had laser guns.
And high-tech explosives and all that sorts of shenanigans.
All this shit was coming. New York was at as prosperous ever because we had the sweetest gear on the planet. But yeah, we'll see. Let's see where it goes if anything does come of it. As I said, when you mentioned it before, it might be the way of them doing, kind of trying to get their Jessica Jones show done without necessarily calling it that or making that the main focus. So we'll see. Who knows? That's what it is at the end of the day, my thought is. We'll see.
I'll say this. If they do Heroes for Hire somehow, we won't get Luke Cage and Daniel Rand. We'll probably get Misty Knight and Colleen Wing.
Probably.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly.
It's only an Isle of Marvel style.
And while I don't have a problem with female heroes, I like it. I love the idea because I like seeing chicks get punched. But that's not what I want. I don't want to see the sword chick and the chick with the metal arm. I want to see the guy who makes the buildings explode. You know?
What if it was all four of them?
If it was all four of them, that would still be way more than that. That would be way more on the budget than they're going to spend. It's not going to happen. First of all, can you imagine how Disney would rift off Iron Fist? Come on, does that sound interesting to you?
Well, this is, I mean, ABC under ABC. This isn't anything to do with Disney Television.
Disney owns ABC.
ABC.
Do they?
Pretty much anything that's talked about being a show in terms of Marvel nowadays, it's
because
that it'll definitely be on ABC or ABC Family. Because
you can, ABC. I guess, because of the name Marvel's in it, it requires a certain expectations. But you can still, I think you could do a good Heroes for Hire TV show with Misty, Mike, Colleen Wing, Iron Fist, and Luke Cage.
You'd have to do it on Fox. They'd be more willing to risk.
No,
like,
are you kidding?
Violence.
Fox would if Fox doesn't like the way it's going, they'll cancel it after one season, even though it's really good.
That's true, but at least that way we'd get violence on freaking ABC. We'd probably get, you know what you get? You get an Iron Fist that wouldn't hit anybody. He'd be dodging, blocking, and then like doing judo throws.
He'd be anging it up, you know, all that good stuff. But really,
is
physical violence worth an itchy trigger finger when it comes to canceling shows, though? I guess that's
what about, you know, like...
And Luke Cage would speak perfect English. That's fail right there. I'm sorry.
I know. What is Luke Cage without Ebonics?
I don't
want violence. That never sits
you
right.
You need sweet Christmas, Luke Cage. That's all I can say.
Sweet Christmas.
Yeah, like that doesn't sit right with me, the whole them not wanting violence. And I'm not like anti-gun or anything like that, but I'm sorry. There isn't a channel today that doesn't have a TV show with somebody shooting the shit out of somebody. So why busting people up?
No, that was the entire premise of 24.
In the face 6-7 times as well.
I don't know. Brian. What do you think?
It would be a nifty little way to bind up all that, you know, stuff that they can't quite seem to get off the ground. It would be a good way to bring it all together under one, under one banner and be like, hey, you know, this is the universe. But, you know, I feel like it would just be like a bunch of little cameos and stuff, you know. I mean, the way they're making it sound, it wouldn't sound like it would focus on more than, you know, one or two characters at a time. And even then, it sounds like it would be rotating through. So, you know... It's not like I wouldn't be opposed to seeing it happen, seeing what the end product would be, but I would be much more open to seeing characters who I like and who are worthwhile get a movie deal. That's just me.
Alright. Well, there you go. Are you in favor for a Marvel TV show? I don't know. As I sneeze.
It'll probably
He's
be
dying!
Like that Justice League
mother.
Pilot from years ago.
Yeah,
like the horror, the horror.
Well, let's move on. I'm gonna ask the audience: do you think there should be a Marvel-centric television show where it's about the Marvel universe, but not necessarily about one character? Or would you rather see a Heroes for Hire? And if so, what network? If it wasn't ABC, would you rather have on Fox? Maybe NBC. What
FX,
about
making a hardcore superpowered Shield?
No, put it on HBO, then you could have nudity.
Oh shit!
You can just watch porn for that.
No,
getting it
topless. Topless Luke Cage and topless Misty Knight. Yay.
One for the men and the
Bow Wow.
One for the men.
And she'd have the Afro Puff.
Oh, Christ, no. Oh, jeez.
Why not Luke and Colleen Wing?
Even better. That's right. We make it a totally color-appropriate couple.
Look, it's an interracial naked couple having sex on HBO.
Hey, Rachel's Taze is making racial comments. Shame on him. Boo, boo. All
right. Well, let's move on to individual reviews. I suck at transitions. Bite.
Transition.
Hey, a truism is given.
So let's go right into. I'm reviewing Wolverine the X-Men number 14. Real quick, I want to mention Venom number 21, biggest disappointment of the year so far. Dropping that book. Anyways, Wolverine the X-Men number 14. This is basically a just like the last issue was a one shot. As it shows on the cover, Kitty's hot date in which Kitty Pryde is kind of forced against her will to go on a date with Phoenix Force 5 member Colossus. And it's basically, this is the first time that they've reunited since they broke up when Colossus became the Juggernaut, or the Colossonaut, or Juggernosis, whatever. And we get a little introspective as Kitty Pryde. She is the headmistress of the school, the Jean Grey school. So we get a little instance of try to run everything and, you know, Deathlok's there trying to predict anomalies because, like, if you do this at a certain time, this sort this has a certain percentage of destroying everything. It's a dupe? The little green monster thing, right? He's there.
Yeah, I think it's dupe.
Toad is fucking creepy as hell because I believe it's Husk. She sheds her skin and, like, Kitty Pryde's talking to it. And then, like, she says, oh, this is my old skin, I clean it up. And Toad volunteers for it. And it shows a panel, sort of in a Buffalo Bill style of him having tea with it. Like it's just like
unrequited love.
It was weird. I'm just like, it was like, oh, it wasn't God. Bad anyway, but it was weird.
You put
like,
her in a bonnet.
Yeah, he did.
Oh my God.
So basically,
no,
Kitty.
No, I'm not a stalker.
So basically, Kitty is trying to, you know, bring order to the school while this war is going on. All of a sudden, these flowers appear, and Peter shows up, and, you know, and it goes back to the first couple of panels, just like Kitty's in this, you know, very, very nice-looking dress, and they're having dinner, like, I don't know if it's a lake or a river, in a body of water, and Peter has it spread out like Moses parting the Red Sea. You see the fish floundering. And, you know, he kind of says, like, I can do anything. I can have anything. I'm the Phoenix. You know, I can, you know.
Oh, they went there? Oh, man.
Well, he's, well, what?
I can do anything. I can have anything. Kitty, well, I want you.
Well, yeah, he basically, he does it, like, he says.
Be my blood. And together, about, rule the world.
Shut up. He's about to, he's about to propose to her. You know, like, but before he could do anything, she's like, no, I think we should talk. And, you know, she doesn't agree with them. And he basically sees the school as an abomination and, like, what you've become. And, like, he basically starts, like, he kind of throws, like, cause he was rejected, he throws, like, the biggest hissy fit and starts wrecking house. And, you know, and Kitty Pryde puts his heart, her hand in his heart and she burns him. He burns her, and, you know, he basically tells, like, the school is closed, and he reiterates the same line Jean Grey said when she became Dark Phoenix. I am fire and life incarnate, now and forever, I am Phoenix, you know. So, and then he kind of pauses, he goes, I am, and he kind of pauses, says nothing, and he kind of, like, has sort of, like, what am I doing here, and he flies away. And then probably the best panel sequence of this issue was, you know, Iceman's working with the Phoenix Force 5, but, like, all the Jean Grey people are, like, having doubts. Like, are we really supposed to be helping these people? These people seem kind of crazy. And so basically they're assessing on what's going on. And Kitty basically tells Bobby, you better man the fuck up and just ask me out. And just if you take me out to a seashore, a fish place, I will personally kill you. He basically just responds, yes, ma'am. And it ends with Colossus walking away in the snow, on fire, sad.
Boo.
What?
That's horrible.
What? That Walking Away music from The Incredible Hulk.
And on top of which, it's Peter going, you know, or Peter, however you want to say his fucking name. It's you know, Peter. He goes, hey, kitty, please come with me to the Casbah. He's like, I don't know. I think maybe we should talk about things. I can have anything I want. I want you. No, I think we should just be friends. I want to. Come here. No! And then he's, bitch, slap. And then, ha, ha, ha. I can do it. Oh, wait a minute. I shouldn't be doing this. I feel bad. Me walk away. Ah, nah, come on.
I liked it. Fuck you.
Don't forget the X-Men suck eggs.
Yeah. So, but the real thing that made me stand out in this art, Arnold, you and Brian, did you read this issue already, right?
Yeah, I got it.
I really like the art.
Bradshaw doesn't disappoint.
No, this isn't Bradshaw. This is, what's his name?
Really?
This is, Jorge Molina.
Wow, I didn't even notice the change.
Well, I did.
Jorge!
So I saw his name. I don't look at previews anymore. So, I knew he was the fill-in guy. It wasn't Bradshaw, it wasn't Bocciolo. So, but I flipped it up in the comics store. Okay, what am I getting? And the art just feels so, the word I keep using is ethereal, as like unreal. Everything sort of has a certain glow to it, and I don't know if that's the colorist or the inker, but everything just feels sort of like ethereal. That's just the way I can describe it.
And ethereal.
Yeah, there you go. And the one thing I really commend Molina's artwork is sort of the facial expressions, especially on Kitty Pryde. Well, you know, you need the word balloons, like, just looking at Kitty Pryde, you kind of get all the emotions she's feeling in a certain scene. And that's hard. It's like, a lot of comic book artists, they just have, you know, type one face, type two face, whereas each of Kitty Pryde's faces are never the same in every single panel. They're always different. And the same goes for every other face, except for Colossus, who just looks menacing, but he is a member of the Phoenix Force 5, and they got a show to run to. They're, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I thought it was, the art alone was just a really great surprise, and usually filling guys are not good. You know, they just grab a random guy here and finish this issue. But this art just really took me by surprise. You can argue the story, blah, 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 whatever. But I thought the main focus should be on the art and like, where the fuck did this guy come from? You know, it's like when you discover that new artist, you know, and like, I feel like this guy needs to get more work. I loved it. Mainly because, a lot of it because of the art. What did y'all think of the issue? Either Arnold or Brian, who read the issue?
I read it. I liked most of it. I liked it for the most part. Again, still one of my favorite X-Books on the stands, or ones that I'm reading. Fuck Phoenix Force 5. They need to start getting their ass whooped. And we know that's coming, because now, naturally, you know the big turning point starts to happen when the people on your side start to essentially defect and realize that the people that they're following are fucking morons. Or, you know, are destroying things or are not seeing things as clearly as they are anymore. So, they, you know, but it was good. All in all, I liked seeing some interaction between Kitty and Piotr, because it's always interesting. I like to know what's going through her mind, regardless of the fact that they broke up. You know that there's still kind of hints of things there. And
I said that this hits close to home was because this week I ran into my ex-girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
Like, if we had, like, not like a dinner, but we had lunch, and it was just like, you know, it's hard to let go of certain feelings, especially when, you know, it's not really that long ago when they left you, or you left them, vice versa.
Yeah. And you kind of hope that, you know, even though it's kind of an old trope, you kind of hope that maybe, just maybe, Kitty's kind of the one to bring him back, as it were, or make him realize these things, which we've noticed right now anyway. Didn't start off being the case, but maybe that might be now, considering the way he walked off into the credits like he did at the end of this issue. But I liked it. I still dug it. It was good.
Did you agree, Brian, or what?
I do agree. I do believe that it does play out in a very, you know, melodramatic way, just because, you know, you've seen this couple since before, hell, you've seen them together since before Kitty Pryde was legal. So to see him going through all this, and then they're back, trying to reconnect when Colossus is not only possessed by the Phoenix Force, but also the last time she saw him, he was the Juggernaut and all that stuff. And so to see him be confronted by Kitty Pryde, who has essentially moved on, because she pretty much makes a pass at Bobby near the end, if I'm not mistaken.
Well,
at least,
I mean, they kissed, and they, like, they've been hinting at it.
Yeah, yeah, it's been building, so.
Which I wonder if they're gonna play that off with the whole Warbird having a crush on him, too.
Oh, yeah.
Love triangle.
She will still take him into her bed after all this is over. By the way, I had no, apparently there was some sort of disconnect for me, but I didn't know Iceman had defected to Cyclops' side.
Well, most of the, and it was in the Wolverine the X-Men, most of the people who work Wolverine said, we kind of agree with what they're doing.
Or yeah, that, oh, okay.
You know, or not
that's,
in the sense,
that's
but,
all, aside from the fact that he's running around with the Avengers, that's one of the reasons why he wasn't at the school so much, because almost everyone there had sided with Scott at the moment.
Yeah.
What dicks.
But hold on, did they make that decision because he was a mutant, or did they make that decision because they agreed with him?
Both.
I think it was, I think it was a little bit of both.
I think some of them have a mix of both, and some of the ones that are realizing that they're doing it more just because we're mutants and we need to stick together are realizing that that can't be the case this time.
Okay, because for that not to have been brought up, I think that would have been a misjustice, but to see it addressed, I got no problem then.
So, yeah, some have a little bit of a mixture of both. Some are just, you know, completely, we're mutants, we need to stick together. Then there are some that are totally, we think Scott is right, and then there are some characters who have a little bit of the mixed emotions.
I like how Warbird was ready to fight Colossus. Like, is he ready to go? I'm ready to go.
Also, can we get some sad walking away music for Colossus? And he just kind of trots away.
Bling, 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 bling.
This is classic. Bling,
bling, bling, bling, bling.
All right, well, let's move to the next best X-book, which is Uncanny X-Force number, is it 28, I believe, right?
Yes, it is, sir, 28.
This shit just keeps getting worse.
Okay, so in case you missed it, last issue, the Brotherhood of Mutants blew up X-Force. In this issue, in this issue, we find out that Betsy Braddock, using her magical mojo and whatnot, used Gateway's last dying ounce of power to teleport them away from the blast. And they wind up 30 years in the future in Los Angeles, where they are greeted by Deathlok, no less. And essentially what we find out here, I'll give it to you in a condensed form, is that Apocalypse, Evan, eventually did rise to power and become the villain that we all know and love to hate.
Spoiler, real quick. Wes, he hasn't done this yet.
So Wes doesn't listen to the show.
Oh, he does.
He doesn't need to worry about that.
Totally this was another matter completely, but that's neither here nor there.
Yes.
Essentially, what happens is he rises to power, and then X-Force, along with several others, take him down and become glorified war heroes in the process. And so they help to establish the new state of things, and in doing so, it almost becomes a police state run by X-Force and their quote-unquote preventative measures, which includes, you know, picking people up before they commit crimes and taking them away and killing people. And this X-Force consists of Wolverine, Deadpool, Cable, Hope, the Punisher, and it's all led by Magistrate Betsy Braddock. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what happens is Deathlok is apparently a wanted fugitive in this world.
And current Betsy is in no position to be.
Oh, no. She's been so scarred psychologically, I'm surprised she... Well, we'll get to that in a second. But
damaged chicks are awesome in bed. That's all I can say.
Anyway, what is it? So they find out that Deathlok is actually... He arrives initially under the banner of peace to, like, try and help them because he says people want to take you away. Then it turns out he actually wants to kill them to prevent the future he is in from ever happening, citing that murder for any reason is still just murder.
It's his love thing that he discovered when Archangel died.
Peace and love, man. Woo. Anyway, Deathlok ends up dying, and when the new X-Force meets the old X-Force, they suddenly realize, hey, where'd Betsy go? Well, turns out she's not only run away, but in the final page of the issue, takes her sword out and guts herself, deciding that she cannot be the one to bring this future about and wants no part of it.
Because she's like Supreme Dictator.
Oh, yeah, she is the badass motherfucker of this world running the show. And so, just deciding she can't take it anymore, she goes to the foot of her giant statue, pulls out her sword, and I believe it's called the Seppuku? Seppuku? Something like that?
Seppuku. Sanpakuto?
Yeah, the Japanese practice of committing ritualistic suicide with your sword.
No.
Harakiri. Seppuku.
Thank you, Arnold. Yes, that. She commits that, and the issue ends with her bleeding out on the ground right at the foot of her giant statue.
Oh, and Phantom X is dead.
Oh my god, this book is amazing. This is just so, it keeps getting better and better and raising the stakes higher and higher. So much shit happened in this issue, and it's such a good story. West, listen to me, buddy. I know we've had our differences, but you are missing, just keep reading, man. I beg of you, keep reading. Please.
Keep doing it, West.
It is worth it. I guarantee you.
Doing it. Wow.
Remender, you are my favorite writer right now. I love you. I love you, Rick Remender.
I think we just heard Brian orgasm.
It's an amazing book. It's the most compelling part of it, and Brian is just damaged Betsy Braddock and how, you know, ever since.
Oh, like, yeah, she has just been, like,
ever since she killed Warren, and then, of course, when she killed her own brother, in the previous story arc, which is coming back to, you know, people who dropped it or didn't like it so much, it's all that's coming back, you know, that's always nice. It's entertaining because it's a good story, but yeah, it's awful to see Betsy go through this and then Kurt commit the ultimate act like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, wouldn't the fact that you know ahead of time how things are going be enough to prevent it?
Well, okay, she's killed Warren, she's killed her brother. This is the first time we've heard about this new future. Like, she's already been worried that her killing is leading to too, like, it's too much. Like, she's already, like, she quit X-Force, right?
Yeah, for a time, yes, and she just got sucked in by happenstance.
Yeah, because the Brotherhood of Mutants attack, so, you know, so she kills herself because from what I understand, just that, you know, you kill yourself, this future can't happen because if there's no you, there's no this. In a way. Yeah. I mean,
you can recognize that, well, if I make this, if I go with this course of action,
they won't or she won't stop killing. That it will just keep
Okay, continuing. If she knows that this is what she will do regardless of having the foreknowledge ahead of time, then fine, you know, off yourself. Yeah, all right, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like, and she doesn't like that. She doesn't like what she's become. Her own brother has disowned her at this point.
It's just amazing that Remender keeps notching up the bodies. We've already had Phantom X die, and now we have Betsy to add to the pile. It's a little bit crazy that he's throwing all this at us in this amazing story arc. It's just...
Arnold, what about... I know you read the issue. Come on, man. Speak up.
X-Force. Yeah, no, I dug it. And again, we're back on the upswing from, I know I keep bringing this up the couple of really crappy issues that we had, but they just keep going and going, man. It's like you went from being, in 30 seconds, you went from being in your present time and shit being fucked up and you almost getting blown up to teleporting 30 years in the future and shit's even more fucked up and you might potentially get blown up. poor Betsy. Again, she's another one mind fuck after another. You know, nobody gets a break here. Everybody is getting the shit thrown at them.
Except for Deadpool. Deadpool's getting off
that doesn't have anything focused directly on him right now is Wolverine and Deadpool.
Oh, Deadpool had a really sad moment. He's like, I just don't want to let anybody down.
Yeah, like, he can be effed up in, like, that moment of maybe I shouldn't be here anymore kind of deal. Those powers and stuff, that was kind of cool. But Phantom X, people are ripping out his heart, man. All this kind of stuff. He's got multiple hearts, right?
Who?
Phantom X.
Yeah, technically Eva's his organs in a way.
Right. Okay, that's but they killed all of him.
He's a corpse. I mean, we don't know if he's dead.
Yeah, he's chock full of different organs and stuff. That's why I thought he had like two hearts and like
this is Superhero Comics
system or two.
He has like two hearts and three brains and
like that's what it's three brains, two hearts, and I think maybe two nervous systems.
Yeah, I mean, this is Remender. He's fully aware of the tropes of the superhero. So I doubt Phantom X is dead, but it's still to believe that he's dead is always nice.
Yeah, exactly. But I agree. So I try not to compare it with Wolverine and the X-Men because I feel like this book is just on a whole other level from the other X-Men books. Not to say that it's
this is like the comic equivalent of Nolan's Batman if it was Marvel.
Yeah, I guess.
Except a lot more X-Force. It really doesn't make sense with what the rest has been going on, but it's still a damn good enjoying ride.
Oh my god, I can't wait to see what happens next. I really can't. Rick Remender, I love you.
2 weeks.
Love
two
you.
Weeks. Arnold, let's go ahead and go to you with your review, brother.
Yes, I am reviewing Avengers number 28. This was yet another one of Ben Bendis' infamous slash famous, I guess, pretty much solo focus book. It's still very much tied into AVX, but it is following the Red Hulk, who we know is Thunderbolt Ross from the Hulk comic book, essentially the guy who was hunting down the Hulk pretty much for all of its existence. I haven't been reading any other Hulk books, but to the best of my knowledge, and for as long as he's been on the Avengers team, I think this is the first time we've seen Ross as Ross and not as the Red Hulk. Correct me if I'm wrong, if you guys have noticed it anywhere else.
I haven't noticed it.
Yeah, to the best of my knowledge, this is the first time we've seen him go human again. I almost thought that it couldn't be done, like he was just stuck that way. And I think they maybe even mentioned in the book, I'm forgetting because it's been a while since I read it, but Cap seems to be the only person right now who knows who he really is when he's not the Hulk, which makes a whole lot of sense because it's Captain America, and if he's going to have you on the team, he's going to know everything about you. But the main focus of this was essentially the Red Hulk kind of doing the job that he knows, or I think he even says it the way he says it in the book, doing the job that Captain America can't do and the job that Wolverine won't do, and that's the whole sneak attack and going...
What? Hold on. That's a little erroneous of a claim. I don't think there's anything Wolverine won't do.
Well, you have to think, maybe if you put it in the mindset of he was going to
kill totally Scott, kill Scott.
He's done it by now. He's had plenty of opportunities.
That's true.
I mean, they had whole conversations together by themselves, and Wolverine didn't make a move. And I don't think he truly wants to kill Scott. But aside from that, that's kind of the way he sees it. And let's look at who we're talking about here. This is Thunderbolt Ross. You know, he always goes off to the extremes on shit like that and in that regard. So coming from him, it doesn't seem like that outlandish of a comment. But yeah, he tries to bring it to Scott all undercover, and it doesn't work. It kind of backfires in the face, and there's talks of maybe killing him, and they're like, no, we're not going to kill him, but we're going to send him back. And Scott's like, wait, before we send him back, we're sending him back with a message. And they literally launch his ass back all the way to Utopia. He lands there in kind of a dying embers flaming ball, and they cut a giant X into his chest. Which didn't heal, and it's the Hulk, so to see shit like that in the Hulk, on any Hulk for that matter, is just nuts. One point that they did make, which it harkens, I guess, to what happened in the movie, is where Phoenix Force Emma goes and pulls a knife to Ross's neck, and it's about to cut his throat, and he's like, it doesn't work that way. She's like, no, it works this way just fine, look. And he's like, no, you don't get it, it doesn't work that way. And, you know, pretty much confirming, like, what was done with the Hulk in the Avengers, is that if you try to kill him, the Hulk will just automatically take over as a defense mechanism and stop that from even happening. And then from that, he gets his ass kicked all the way back to Utopia with a giant X on his chest. And that's kind of where the story ends. It was good at first. Going into it, I was kind of like, really, is this just going to be a whole, you know, another issue of a whole bunch of art and then just talking on the side, which stuff that could have just been put with characters having said conversation. But by the time I got done with it, I actually really ended up enjoying it more than I thought I would. The art on it this time is Simonson still, actually. So that was good. Seeing it before, I'm digging it. The way he draws the Hulk is actually pretty good. I like his Hulk in this book a lot, and his the way he draws Iron Man and his armor. Minor side note to that, Walt Simonson will be at New York Comic Con. Be jealous. All in all, I will give the book a 3 out of 5.
Can I say, I dropped this title. I didn't pick this issue, so this is, I didn't. I'm out. I'm out of Avengers. I'm done. I can't do it anymore. I'm tapping out.
He's ejecting! Pulling the cord!
I don't know, it's just like, I bought it.
Pull out! Pull out!
I thought, like, I don't usually read solicitations, but then I read the solicitions for, like, Bendis' final Avengers arc, but I thought this was the final arc. And I just, like, I don't care. I just, like, as much as I love Simonson, I'll just go read his Thor run and get the same enjoyment out of that instead of reading this. You know, I know it's cliche to say it, but, like, I flipped through, I was like, am I, should I buy this? Should I not buy? I've been contemplating for a while now. Should I drop Avengers? It's a book that I've really kind of been on gas mode, so I don't know if I should buy it or not. And then I saw those wall of text, and I flipped to the end. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to read this. And I like the Red Hulk, and I like Simonson. So, yeah, I'm not reading any Avengers books right now. So, there you go. Taser, last but not least, you, comrade. Winter Soldier number 8, Spy Mission.
Winter Soldier number 8. It's got the hotness, Black Widow, and what's his name? The guy with the gun that had a metal arm. Oh yeah, it's the name cast guy, Winter Soldier. He's on the cover. Woo, nice cover. Anyway, this story picks up where the last one left off. Natasha's been kidnapped by, that, you know, Russian who's got a beef with Bucky. And somehow or other, even though they weren't that far behind them, they end up getting, they end up locating where what's his name? Leonid had snuffed Natasha, and they got there 3 hours later, even though they were like 20-minute distance. Somehow that happened. So they get away, and you know, Sitwell and Bucky are both going, "What are we gonna do? I don't know. I feel lost. We're gonna get her back, sir. We're gonna get her back. I know, but I'm going to miss her." And we see evil Russian man. He's got the doctor that he abducted in the previous issue. Got a gun to his head, and he's like, "Oh, don't kill me! I've got a wife and family. Ah, don't hurt me." And he's like, "I know. It would be a shame for something to happen to them, especially when I can make it look like an accident."
Dun, dun, dun.
You know. And he's like, "Oh, what do you want to do with me? What do you want? Come with me, doctor. I want you to see over here." So he takes him to the next room, and oh no, he's got Black Widow hooked up to some machines, and she's just going dirt, 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 and it's beep, 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 and he wants him to reprogram her. Now, I'm thinking sex slave, because, you know, Natasha's got a nice body, especially for somebody who's nominally like 50, 70 years old. I'm thinking very good sex slave, like Princess Leia sex slave. But he's got other plans. So, Bucky, meanwhile, he starts beating pavement, and he's breaking in. Not breaking in, but he's going all over the place trying to find all types of ne'er-do-wells and malcontents and mercs and whatever. He's just trying to extract information from whatever source he can get his hands on. Even people who have no clue what the hell's going on, he's just like, "Hey, you're on a list somewhere, and you're not nice, so pop, 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 pop." He's like, "Oh, no, no, please stop hitting me." He's like, "No, no, shut up. I just need to beat on you because I have to vent." Sitwell comes through with some info, and they kind of meet up, and they go over like what was it? They managed to track the helicopter that was used, and they've got like a partial ID of the people that had taken it, and those men were spotted at a certain location. So they head over there. Meanwhile, Leonid is at there's a place called the Hotel Empire, and he's hiding out in the metal structure of the sign, and he's looking at what is it, Lincoln Center, and he's, you know, aiming for a shot, and you don't know what the hell's going on here. It's like, who, what, where, what? And this girl's like, "Ah, la, 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 la. I'm coming out because I'm a nice lady," and she, you know, gives some money to some homeless schmo. And he's like, "Oh, thank you, lady. You're so nice. Thank you very much." He's like, "That's okay. La, 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 la." And she gets close enough. There's a taxi coming by. Leonid shoots out the tire so that it angles in its reckless course and plows right into her. And she's left this, like, broken heap in the street. It's like, "Oh, my God. Somebody call an ambulance." Meanwhile, Sitwell and Bucky are sitting in a bar, and they're having a nice bit of, you know, man moment, you know, talking about stuff and
they're broing,
you know,
out.
Yeah, actually it's a big bro moment, you know. They don't bro fist, they don't bro hug, but they share a beer. You know?
Close
okay. Down. You know, a man needs that every now and again. And then they see the you know, some of the ex Spetsnaz agents that had taken the helicopter that had taken Black Widow. So naturally, hey, I have to go beat on these guys. And he kicks their asses. Actually, it's a very nice looking fight. He kicks their asses and gets what he needs. To close it off, we go back to Lincoln Center and we find out that the lady who had just been hit, she was the lead in a dancing performance. And since she's not there, well, they had to call the understudy. But the understudy, she's sick. Wow, who would have thought? Oh, no, the performance has got to be finished. It's got to end. And, you know, the director, he's all, you know, bad shit, and he wants to rip his hair out and everything. And, you know, one of his the scouts is like, no, sir, I've just found somebody you must see. Come see her. And bum, 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 it's Natasha as Natalia. You know?
Oh, my God.
You know, and she's doing ballerina moves and everything, and I'm like, ooh, yeah, baby. All right. Yeah. And, but, you know, I wouldn't buy that because, okay, while Natasha looks good for a woman who's had something closer to Nick Fury treatments, she would still be, like, I don't know, 40? You know? How many ballerinas would you, you know, how many ballerinas make it to that old? They all retire at like 35. She's
gonna be the cranky teacher with like a stick shouting instructions off to the side.
You know, and she's solid. You know, she's not, you know, one of those pencil thin so that it makes it easier for the guy to be, you know, guy to pick her up. She's got muscle on her. She's solid. She's strong. But anyway, they pick her. She's supposed to take the place. She could easily do it. And that's where we leave off. I enjoyed the story, you know? The art was fine. I don't know who does it. And I think, some schmo. Brubaker. Okay, yeah. See, I had to kind of think that one up.
Yes, Brubaker the schmo.
Yeah, good job on the story. You know, I enjoyed the words that he used to tell the story. no, I had fun. You know, this book moved. I flowed along with it. It kept my attention. I'm here going, what's going to happen next? Oh, he kicked ass on that. And hey, what are they going to do with it now? Oh, this, wow, she got converted and her brainwashed. Ooh, The art was fine. The story was fine. You know, it got its job done. It moved things along. It's kept me gripped. I'm going to pick up the next one. So I do recommend this. It's a fine story. And it's something that's different from me because I don't normally go out for things where you have men talking about stuff. You know, not too many bro moments for the taser. I like my shit blowing up and more blowing up. I give this
explosion.
Yeah, give me the Michael Bay of comics. No, I give this
then why
about.
Why do you hate Geoff Johns?
Because he's a douchebag. If you really
he's
want
like
me to go into
that, he's more
like
the Roland Emmerich of comics.
There you go. Better analogy.
Okay, I would give this book a 4.2 warriors out of 5. Pick it up, people.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, and with that, we are going to end the show.
yeah, I need to get back to Mass Effect 3.
And I, well, also, you can find us at twitter.com/warriors3pcast, thewarriors3.com as our website, thewarriors3@gmail.com. Arnold takes care of our Facebook. And of course, I also want to thank the Bill for joining us last week. I apologize again for the audio problems. That's all fixed right now.
The only audio problem was not having me on the show with you.
Shut the fuck up.
So,
thank you, Bill, for joining us. And check out their podcast. I believe their review on The Dark Knight Rises should be out. If not, it'll be out soon. also,
they'll agree with me, by the way. Just saying it.
Also, look in our iTunes feed as well as on the website. Right below this one will be our review special of The Amazing Spider-Man. What do we think about the movie? What do we like? What do we dislike? And speculation of the future. So until next week, where we will be bringing out the bow and arrows, I'm your host, Iggy. That's Taser, Arnold, and Brian. We'll see y'all next week for 112. 112.
The word's naked.